1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anybody obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for a new day, for a new semester and a new beginning. God, maybe today as we begin a new semester marks a clean slate. Maybe it marks just another notch on our journey. But God, Lord, I just ask that as this semester goes, that as we invest in you, God, that you will continue just to invest in us. Lord, your word says that we will seek you and we will find you if we seek you with all of our heart. And Lord, I pray that for all of us. God, we seek after you and we want to be like Jesus and walk as he did. Lord, I pray for the strength and the wisdom and the guidance to do that. Lord, be with us through this semester. We love you so much, and we love Jesus, who gives us life because he conquered the grave. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask everyone to please stand on your feet.
It's a new day, fresh anointing coming my way, a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season right here. It's a new season, it's a new day, fresh anointing coming my way, a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season right here for me. Your ladder will be greater. Your ladder will be greater. Your ladder will be greater than your past. Your ladder will be greater. Your ladder will be greater. Your ladder will be greater than your past. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing coming my way. A season of power and prosperity. It's a new season right here for me. because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my
no doubt whatsoever that you can believe in God. There's no doubt whatsoever that you can trust in God, that God will be faithful, and that God will love you, and that God will be faithful to you at times even in spite of you. I think the real question, though, is, as we start this new semester, is can God trust in you? Can God count on you? That's the question. Hey, we're starting a new semester. I don't know about you, but I think it's cool. I think it's exciting. We've got a couple of new students here this semester. If you're new, a brand new student to MACU, or you were not here last semester, so if you're new or were not here last semester, will you stand up? I've had some of you in my home already for dinner. There should be about five or six of you. There you go. All right, very good. Stay standing. Well, you can give them a round of applause. Stay standing for just a second. I want you to, stay standing just a second, please. Thank you. Stay standing. I want you to look at these guys. I want you to love these guys. I want you to adopt these guys. I want you to help them out on campus. I want you to help them find a church that they cannot attend, but a church where they can serve. There's a huge difference. MacU, we don't go to church. We serve at church. And so we make sure that we see that. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're spread out. We don't look the same. We don't act the same. We're in 44 states and 18 different countries. But whether you like it or not, you're family now. You're MacU. God bless you. All right, have a seat if you will. Speaking of family, Chairman Langley and I, Chairman of your Board of Trustees and I, will be going to Thailand in February. And we have a sister school in Thailand, the Maesok Bible Training Center. It's going to be our privilege to teach leadership. But what we need from you is this. The country over there, the students over there are very, very poor. And they need glasses. They need eyeglasses. They need reading glasses. So what I want you to do is just buy the bucket load, find them in the old drawers at homes and other places. Please don't steal them. But find them, confiscate them, get them, bring them to my office, and hopefully before we leave for Thailand in February, we're going to have a whole suitcase full of glasses. It is amazing to be over in Thailand and see people young and old both dig through the glasses and smile. Because now they can finally read, now they can finally see. So we would appreciate it if you, faculty, staff, and students could gather up some eyeglasses. So that would be great. Cool. You like my glasses? I like them. I think they're pretty cool. Hey, this year we've been studying the book of 1 John as a chapel, as a devotion. And there's kind of a key scripture that jumps out. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Really, my time with you this morning is trying to make sure that we remind ourselves of two simple truths. And the first truth is this, coming out of 1 John. And 1 John's a wonderful book, and there's no way to really dive into it. There's not enough time, but there's a simple truth that's repetitive in 1 John, and that is simply this. Sin happens. And we as believers, we need to just get over it. And we need to accept God's solution. Look at 1 John, the passage there, and he starts off there by saying, "My dear children." Now, he's not trying to talk down to them. It's a term of endearment. He really has a personal relationship with them. And at the time of writing this, John is kind of up in years. And so he's just talking to them in a very gentle way. He says, "I write this to you so that you will not sin." Every spiritual leader among you at MacU wants you to live a holy life. They want you to call you to accountability and say, "Go and sin no more." But every spiritual leader among you realizes it's going to happen. But if anyone does sin, the scripture goes on to say, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the whole sins of the world. I've had the privilege of being in located ministry in a local church for multiple decades. And I will tell you, being in real churches with real issues, I still remain confused why people cannot get past their sins. Sin will happen. But John is very clear. We have an atoning sacrifice. The word there is very precise, mercy seat. And I'm confident in one of your classes, you're really going to dive into that word. Because you could spend an hour there just trying to understand what it means by the atoning sacrifice. But the bottom line for this morning that I want to drill through is that sin will happen. But for we as Christians, sin needs to be more of an intrusion, not a lifestyle. Sin needs to be an interruption, like, "Oh, crud, not again." And John is talking about having a lifestyle so that when sin does invade our spiritual journey, we go, "Ah." But the issue here is lifestyle. Do you have that pattern? Do you have that habit of walking as Jesus walked? You see, this is a walk of sacrifice where we walk in Jesus quite often as wounded soldiers who are still sinners. Landon, I hope you don't mind this, but when he walked in this morning, my goodness, the boy was hobbling. And we had just a brief conversation, didn't we? And I said, are you going to play? And he said, yeah. Because athletes know if you're going to play, most of the time, or it's not uncommon, you're going to play with pain. And the truth of the matter is, if you choose to lead, if you choose to be one of those who serve, quite often you're going to find yourself leading when you're in pain. And for all of you, I'm here to tell you, quite often as a Christian, you're going to have to live that lifestyle, drive past the pain of sin. And it's called living a life of sacrifice. You see, the world calls us to this self-discovery. But to walk at Jesus' walk is a lifestyle of love that moves us to serve others. Jesus' walk is one of sacrifice, not of discovery. It's easy to play the cheap game of self-discovery rather than the costly game of sacrifice. Purpose and meaning in life is not found in self-discovery, but it is found in living a life that is serving others. It is not wallowing in the pity of our past mistakes or our current or past sins. It is living a lifestyle of service. America for too long has toyed with the idea of we've got to help people just find themselves. And if they can just discover who they really are, then they'll be healed. I say nonsense. The biblical approach is you don't have to find yourself. You have to discover that you've got to walk as Jesus walked, that you've got to live a life of sacrifice. Show me a person that is serving others, and I'll show you a person who knows who they are and whom's they are. There's a huge difference. That's why we at MacU, we're involved with things like Martin Luther King Day, and we'll encourage absolutely every one of you to be a part of it. Now, let me be very clear. Dr. King was no perfect man. Pause. Let that sink in. But his cause to justice was guided by his faith, his theological education at a school like this, and the liberty to act on those convictions. Do you know that during the Birmingham Civil Rights Campaign, Dr. King required every participant to sign a pledge to do 10 things? We believers have a habit with that number 10, don't we? I can provide you a copy of all 10 if you wish, but I just want to quote a couple of them. Number one, he said, meditate daily on the teaching and life of Jesus. Number three, walk and talk in a manner of love, for God is love. And number four, pray daily to be used by God in order that all men may be free. I hope next Monday you'll find yourself through serving others. After all, the scripture is clear. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. So sin will happen. Stop trying to heal yourself and come to peace with your past, but live a life like Jesus simply by serving others. Another simple truth I just want to remind us as we start this new semester. You know, look at the third verse of the sixth verse. Should be on the screen for you. We know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if we obey His word, God's love is truly made complete in Him. This is how we know we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him, what does it say? Must walk as Jesus did. Guys, it really is not complicated. This great commandment of love is loving other in obedience. Now, I'm an old guy. Got the gray hairs to prove it. Boy, sometimes I love the old hymns because I think they got it right. You know this one, don't you? If you do, you can sing it with me. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Sing it with me. Here's the easy parts. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do you get it? You don't need the cheap game of self-discovery. You need the costly game of obedience, where we learn day by day in the little things to do nothing but trust and obey. John is very clear that our love is not of the world. John is very clear in another passage that we love one another and He's commanded us. John is very clear, one, love one another, for love comes from God. John is very repetitive and clear, those who love God must also love others. Wow. This whole concept of love from a biblical perspective, it's crazy. It's radical. It's revolutionary. It's unconditional. It's absolutely stubborn. I kind of begin to get it as I'm aging. It takes me a while. But as a poppy, as a grandfather, I get it. First time I reached my hand down, and little Evelyn wrapped her entire hand around my finger, I knew that I would love her, period. And it would not depend upon anything. Whether she was smart, whether she was healthy, whether she ended up looking good or not look good, or whether she smiled at me or didn't smile at me. I understood that crazy, radical, revolutionary, unconditional, stubborn thing called biblical love. That I decided I was going to love this girl. So Christians, love. Christians, serve. Sure, you can believe in God. The real question is, can God believe in you? Do you have the habit of serving others? Do you have the habit of loving others? We know it. We're trained with the Bible at the root of all disciplines. We know the Bible when it says that God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still, I told you you knew it, Christ died for us. And even now as believers, God offers the atoning sacrifice for our sins when we have those intrusions and those interruptions. And we make our love complete when we obey Him. Trust. Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust that God will forgive us of our sins and to obey by serving others. Hey, whoever claims to walk, whoever claims to live as Jesus did, must walk in Jesus. During the break, we had a phenomenal thing happened in the history of the school. And you'll get all the details about it in the next messenger when it comes out. But for now, I would like for you just to simply understand this. And I have a request. I have a favor. Right at your chapel today, Miss Lewis is going to be down here, and she's going to have several cards for you to just sign your name and say thank you to a gentleman named Roy Watson. Now, most of you won't even know Roy Watson. Some of you might. Some of you may know his wife passed away a couple years ago. Some of you may not. But Roy Watson, in memory of his wife, gave a gift to the school that is the largest gift to the school in her 64-year history. A significant gift. So I'm simply asking each of you students to sign a card that Sandra and I or others and I will deliver to Roy and just simply to say thank you. Just remind you of the reality that we as students, that you as students, pay less than half the cost of the education here. And so we're always dependent upon the generosity of donors. So there's a couple of little things that are going to happen in chapel. But we just kind of have this little commercial break, and I think most of you can handle commercials. You deal with them all the time. That says, hey, all right, I'd have to chapel. Do President Perkins a favor. Go up and sign a card. Just sign your name, say thank you, whatever else you want to say, but mainly just sign your name. And the faculty and staff are doing other type cards, but just sign your name to the card, and we would greatly appreciate that. Because God, this year, in very, very special ways, is through multiple small gifts and multiple large gifts, really blessing this school. So it's significant, folks, what Roy has done in memory of his wife. There will likely be a special service about this later this semester. That is all just dependent upon his health and his ability to travel. Let's continue on. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus walked.
This morning I realized that I have been involved in higher education for 26 years. Either as a student or on the faculty staff side of a school. And something that I have observed from my own time as being a student to those years, the 19 years that I have seen students, is that when you leave this place, be it after one semester, be it after 4, 5, 6 years, however long it takes you to graduate, that the overwhelming majority of you will have one of two reactions to your time here. You will either be extremely grateful for the time here and how you've grown and matured, or you will have some regrets. And you'll think back and you'll wish I would have done this better. I wish I would have paid attention in this class. I wish I would have done this. I hope that this semester will be one of those semesters that you'll look back and you'll be grateful, that you'll be glad that you're here, that you'll be glad for what you've learned, for what you have given, how you have invested in yourself and in your classmates. Now, Dr. Perkins told you about a little activity that you can do over the next couple weeks, and that's gather some eyeglasses. Fortunately, these don't have glasses in them because then I'd be blind. Do remember to collect some eyeglasses for the president and for the chairman of the board as they prepare to go over to Thailand. Would you stand with me and let's pray? Father in heaven, you have blessed us in ways that we are not even conscious of. And we pray that you would open our eyes to those blessings. We ask for wisdom in recognizing them and in knowing how best to take advantage of the way that you bless us. Give us eyes to see those around us. Give us eyes to see the task that is laid before us. Lord, give us wisdom to know how to spend our time, that at the end of each day we may approach in our nighttime prayer and trust that what we have offered you is pleasing in your sight. Lord, we thank you for what you do for us, and we look forward to seeing how we may continue to be a part of your plan. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We look forward to the day when you send him back, and we pray these things in his name. Amen.